If cloud computing is so great, how come federal agencies don't do more of it? The White House has been pushing cloud for nearly a decade. Turns out CIOs still face a lot of challenges to cloud usage. The Professional Services Council, in a new report, spells them out, together with some advice and examples of cloud success. Federal Drive host Tom Temin discussed all of this with the PSC's Executive Vice President, Dave Winogrand.
Cloud computing is an important part of the way that agencies can sort of leapfrog forward to replace their aging IT infrastructure and create approaches that allow you to take better advantage of the way applications are developed and deployed nowadays. I think there's a understanding of the value proposition of cloud computing, and we should also be excited about some of the progress that government agencies have made. To think that a few years ago, places like the Department of Defense and the intelligence community talked about, you know, they were happy to be in the cloud as long as nobody else was there with them, have been replaced by the CIA and other intelligence agencies using commercial cloud solutions. So progress is being made. But when we did our PSC CIO survey this year, we found that only 8% of federal CIOs felt that their agencies had made as much progress as they should have on cloud computing. And so clearly there's some resistance, reluctance, angst about this moving to the cloud. And I think part of that is around the set of personal control issues about we always feel better when we own things ourselves, which of course can be addressed. And then part of it is sometimes when we contract for things, we the government, we don't ask for things in a way that help us get the best outcome. And so this idea about cloud computing is very important, and hence that's why we've released the PSC Cloud Computing Report this week to actually help government buyers understand the compelling value proposition, the specific steps you could take to be successful in implementing more rapidly cloud solutions, and then backing that up with about 14 case studies that have shown, see, this is the art of the possible, and you can do it.
And given that the fact that most commercial cloud providers, and many of them specialize in having secure facilities and are probably better at it than the federal government has been at cybersecurity, that this whole FedRAMP deal and the whole emphasis on worry about security has maybe not served federal cloud adoption all that well?
Well, I think you're spot on that movement to a cloud can raise the bar in security for you, because so much of this aging infrastructure that we have in government agencies right now is no longer supported, no longer updated, and so that has to be addressed. And to FedRAMP, I think, you know, the goal of FedRAMP was laudable, because the idea was to make it easier for agencies to get to secure cloud solutions from the private sector. These ideas about certifying once and being used by multiple agencies are important. And you know, the GSA team is working hard, but it takes more than just the GSA team working on FedRAMP to get it right, because what we're still seeing is a lack of reciprocity. And so, you know, if it takes too long to go through the process to get FedRAMP certified, and when somebody goes and gets an ATO to do a cloud implementation, but another agency won't rely upon that set of security accreditation that's already been done, then we further hamper the ability to take advantage of these solutions that will, as you say, point, raise the bar in security and make things more effective.
And so how can cloud really, I mean, Tony Scott has said, well, cloud will accelerate the change that has to occur in the federal government, but simply moving from one host to another alone doesn't do that. What is the gestalt here in the cloud that can actually drive change in the government?
Yeah, I overuse the phrase business judo, but this is sort of an opportunity like that. It's an opportunity to leapfrog. If you think about like Eastern European nations, a couple of decades ago that had aging copper infrastructure for their networks, and rather than trying to replace all their copper wire with fiber, they just leapfrogged a generation to wireless technologies and catapulted themselves into the internet age. That there's an analog for that in the federal government here. That you're right, it's not just we move from person A hosting a server box to person B hosting a server box, but we're moving off of, you know, aging data center infrastructures that are no longer supported even by the original manufacturers, to taking advantage of, you know, modern technology in a modern secure facility, and doing it in a way where we spend less money because we're only buying for what we use. In the old personal control model, we bought all these boxes to be ready for the peak surge demand, and most of the time then, you know, they weren't being utilized. And the beauty of a cloud computing scenario, of course, as you know, is, you know, you buy what you use, and you can scale up and scale down as you need. So you've got these companies, many of whom are highlighted in our report, that have, you know, are spending lots of time and energy and money to make sure that modern infrastructure that's able to take advantage of modern systems and solutions are available to be used by customers. And so it's not just, you know, getting the next version of a box. It's about moving to a model that breaks you free of the shackles that are precluding you from taking advantage of, I'll say, the 21st century digital services model.
We're speaking with Dave Wennergren, the Executive Vice President of the Professional Services Council. In the report, you also have some good examples of federal agencies that have done cloud work and for some pretty mission-critical situations. I'm looking at the one now about the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in the federally facilitated marketplace, healthcare.gov.
Absolutely. That's what we thought. We thought the report could do several things. It could help government buyers understand that, you know, buying cloud as a utility is a different model. It's sort of like the electricity model. I don't spend much time worrying about what brand of generator is down the transmission wires. I'm much more concerned about that the power is available at the wall plug and that I'm only being paid charged for what I use. And so part of the report is about helping to understand that if you ask for things the right way, you'll get the right outcome. And then to help bolster confidence, we point out about 14 case studies in the back of the report that represent 11 different companies that are very well known in this space for being very successful at providing cloud solutions. And you're right, they cover all manner of things from intelligence commands to NASA and outer space missions to Medicare, Medicaid. And so, you know, this is clearly in the art of the possible. And we need to move more aggressively. It's been 4 going on 5 years since the OMB Cloud First policy. Tony Scott's been doing a great job trying to rally this point around the issues of replacing aging infrastructure, consolidating data centers, and improving cybersecurity. And we need now for, you know, agencies to move much more aggressively to see this through.
That idea of consolidating data centers, that really has never happened. And this goes back to the Clinton administration had a data center consolidation initiative. And I think I found a document not too long ago where even President Reagan was talking about how the government has so many computers. And so now here we are in 2015, almost 2016. And there's, I guess, if you take the latest count of 11,000 data centers, they're pretty liberal in what they are counting as a data center. It could be a closet. But why has that not, do you think, really happened?
I say this as a former Fed myself, and, you know, and so this isn't like me picking on other people, but human nature is to prefer having control over things. And so while control freak is maybe not a happy word, you know, this idea about personal control is a hugely important issue. And we always feel better when we control things ourselves, because then we feel like we have better ability to adapt and adjust, but that's not necessarily the case, because it takes time and money to buy all these component parts and then have to be the one that glues them all together. And there are ways to deal with that. And so you could replace the need to feel like you have to own every box yourself and have it be in a building that is, you know, inside of your office building with the right service level agreements. If we agree we're seeking an outcome, we could find the right key measures that could be used to give confidence to the government buyers and the government users of this cloud solution that you're getting the services that you want and the outcomes are being achieved. And so often what we do with service level agreements is we overstate them. We put too many of them in place, or we don't recognize that, you know, back office admin stuff maybe needs different levels of availability and latency and stuff than the mission critical things. And so oftentimes, even when we start to make the move to letting somebody else do it, we overpopulate with too many service level agreements. And as the report notes, the answer is the right smaller set of measures that matter, because the things that we measure are the things that we focus our time and attention on. And if we're measuring the right outcomes, we can actually build confidence that even though you don't own all the gear yourself, that you're getting the outcomes that you desire. And frankly, that's the way work is being done all over the world in the private sector.
And one of the things that has scared agencies off of cloud and to hug those data centers is that there have been some celebrated cases of where a cloud provider went out of business or switched business strategies, and the government couldn't get its own data back without a lot of cost.
Yes. Well, you clearly don't want to have lock-in. And that's another area that the report talks about. But there are steps you can take to make sure that you have, you know, the right data rights and the ability to get what you need, and frankly to be able to move if you're not getting the outcome that you desire. And so you're right. I mean, you need to learn from the past, But so often what we tend to do is, because something happened, we don't go back and digest, you know, well, what was it about that? Was it a contract vehicle that wasn't worded correctly? Was it the wrong contracting approach? Was it a particular company that didn't do well? And then learn from that. Instead, we say, well, something happened, so we should never try that approach again. And yet, I think you look all around you and you see organizations that, you know, have really important, very sensitive missions like the CIA and NRO and others that are successfully adopting commercial cloud providers. And so there's clearly, you know, a huge set of evidence, both in government agencies and federal, state, local level, and across the private sector, where, you know, you should be focused on your core mission. And we talk a lot about that nowadays, about, you know, like an Office of Personnel Management. I mean, you know, what they do a fabulous job of making sure that people's pensions are being delivered and stuff like that. But maybe others could help support them in IT issues. And so, you know, can we help focus on the core missions and let people who their core mission is securely delivering infrastructure as a service, software as a service, help support the government's mission.
Dave Wettergren is Executive Vice President of the Professional Services Council, speaking with Federal Drive host Tom Timmon. Share this interview with colleagues and find a link to the report at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.